Welcome to the King's Chapel Alaska podcast. From wherever you are listening, we are so excited that you tuned in today. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word.
Numbers chapter 25, and we'll start in verse 1 here in just a bit. Anytime I get the privilege of breaking open God's word, which will remain and endure forever, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain forever. I take it very seriously, and then on nights like tonight, when we have the joy of hosting other churches and youth from other places, I, in even a greater way, long for God to touch you this week and change your life. We don't need just a couple cute services where we go home with a little T-shirt and a couple little keepsakes. And, you know, we spent our spring break, you know, just hearing a couple nice messages. No, our hope here is that you would experience God, his power, his fullness, his word. Our hope is that you'd get filled with the Spirit. Our hope is that you would be raised up and appointed and filled and anointed afresh to go back to your schools, go back to wherever you came from, full of fire, full of zeal, full of passion. Our hope is that through this conference, your life would be transformed in such a way that your family would say, man, snap. That's what Dad would say when he'd see you. Snap. What happened? They'd look at you and be like, what happened? And you could tell them what happened. They would feel what happened. And the effects of this conference would be far-reaching even to eternity. And you'll know because a month later, you'll still be experiencing the results of what takes place over these next few days. Minister David, I'm so blessed for your leadership. Thank you so much, and thank you for putting the pool together today. Look at this thing. Fire baptism. Now that's a baptism tank. I mean, this other sissified thing we have behind the blinds over here. This is a real tank right here. I'm glad because it's going to go in our new building. It's about the right size. Numbers 25. I've entitled the message, Raising Up Generation Z. Seduced or persecuted, which will you be? Let's all stand for the reading of the word. Hallelujah. Okay, here we go. Numbers 25. We're going to read from the New International Version, verse 1. Numbers 25, verse 1. Greetings to all that are online. While Israel was staying at Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices of their gods. The people ate the sacrificial meal and bowed down before these gods. So Israel yoked themselves with Baal of Peor. And the Lord's anger burned against them. The Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of these people and kill them and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel. Verse 5. So Moses said to Israel's judges, each of you must put to death those of your people who have yoked themselves with Baal of Peor. Then an Israelite man brought into the camp a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance of the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, followed the Israelite into the tent, and drove the spear into both of them, right through the Israelite man and into the woman's stomach. Then the plague against Israel was stopped, but those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. One more scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4, what a heartwarming text. You know you're feeling the Holy Ghost right about now. 1 Peter chapter 4. And if you would go down, please, to verse 4. They are surprised that you do not join them in their recklessness, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light upon our path. I pray that you would help me. Help me to communicate what you've communicated to my heart. Help me, oh God, in this message tonight, to bring forth and to communicate living understanding and truth to your people. Take a coal from your altar, I pray, oh God. Place it upon my lips, and as I preach, as I pray, as we flow in the Holy Ghost, that we would be forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Why don't you say hi to a couple people while you're sitting down? Those around you, come on, high five them and say, brace yourself. Go ahead, tell the other person next to you, brace yourself. Brace yourself. Raising up Generation Z. Whether you realize it or not, this current generation, this newest generation now, are called Generation Z. And I don't know all the reasons for that, but as I was praying, I want to rename Generation Z and put a Z standing for zeal. Generation of zeal. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, it says, never be lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I think every Christian ought to ask God to give them enthusiastic zeal for Him, for God, and for His power, for His word, for His presence. A lukewarm, mediocre, apathetical, lackadaisical Christianity is not going to turn this nation, not going to turn the nations, not going to turn this generation towards the Lord. But a generation like unto Phinehas, a generation that are filled with zeal, will. This text is Numbers 25, is a text that is profound to me in many, many ways. Many, many reasons for that. Israel is on the way to the promised land, and they've passed through a region that is not so happy they're there. There's millions of people, and this is the text where Balaam and Balak, this king hires a false prophet, like a warlock, to curse Israel. And every time he gets up to curse Israel, he says, you know, the king says, I don't want these people around here. Can you just curse them? We'll pay you lots of money. Just curse them. And he goes out to curse them, and God turns his words into a blessing every time. But he's a wicked man. And he's wicked because he couldn't curse them, but he taught them and gave them advice. If you go to Numbers 31, verse 16, he taught them how to get them out from under the blessing of God and how to defeat them. He says, if you can just get them to sin, if you can just get them to yoke with Midianite women, you can get them to yoke with Baal of Peor, then God will take care of them himself. They'll come out from under the blessing of God and they'll begin to be wiped out. And that's exactly what happens. And 24,000 people are killed in this plague. This plague breaks out. And one of the leaders of the Israelite, I mean, it's just imagine this, one of the elders of the Israelites, his son, think about it that way, takes one of these women right in front. I mean, it's like I'd be preaching to you right now, and somebody would come out from around here, grab somebody, and head off to the back room to go fornicate right in front of all of us. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we're weeping and we're repenting before the Lord, all this horrible thing, and here comes the girl and here comes the guy, like, what's up? And they walk off to the back, and everybody knows what they're going to do. I imagine Moses is shocked. I imagine the people of Israel are like, I mean, what gall? What audacity. What a lack of the fear of the Lord. And there's this guy. I love him. His name is Phineas. And he's like, oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't. And he grabs a javelin. And he follows him into the tent. Now, the text says that he killed the Israelite and the woman with one shot. So that tells you how close they were. And the plague was ended. Sin and judgment. Sin was ended and judgment was averted. And these two were killed. And God honors Phineas because the text says, if you go and study it, that he was zealous for God's honor. I believe that God has called you, no matter what age you are. I know it's a youth conference, but the truth is, this generation belongs to every single person that's breathing. If you've passed away, well, you're not a part of the generation anymore. But if you're alive right now, you're a part of this generation. And I want to say that I'm thankful about the youth and the outpouring of the Spirit, but I heard report that God's been pouring out His Spirit in our children's church. People weeping, little kids on their faces weeping before the Lord upstairs. And I know for a fact that God's been touching my heart, touching my wife's heart. I know that God will touch every man, every woman, every child. He's pouring out His Spirit. Can you say amen? He's pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. So I'm grateful for the youth, but if you think you're going to be used instead of me, you're dreaming. I'm going to fulfill everything that God's got for me. I'm a part of this generation too. I want to see the kingdom of God come in power with signs and wonders and healing and miracles. And there is absolutely a plague. There's a plague that is being perpetrated in the nations, and it's not coronavirus. I'm not afraid of coronavirus, but I am very concerned about Baal. Hallelujah. I want you to go to the book of Revelation, please. You say, well, Pastor, that's the Old Testament. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the Old Testament. Revelation chapter 2. And Jesus gives a word to John the Revelator, an old man in the island of Patmos. They tried to boil him in oil, but they couldn't kill him. They're like, oh, we don't know what to do with you. We're just going to send you out to be on some lone island. He gets visited by the Lord, and he writes the book of Revelation to the seven churches of Ephesus, giving these messages, revelation of Jesus. And in Revelation chapter 2, he's writing to the church of Pergamum. And verse 14, I want you to find verse 14. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people who hold to the teaching of Balaam. He's talking about Numbers 25. He's saying to the, this is the New Testament, this is not the Old Testament. He's saying you have people that hold to the teaching of Balaam. Well, what is the teaching of Balaam? Well, it has to do with money, and it has to do with joining yourself with Baal. But before I move on, let me just give this to you. Baal. Anybody ever heard of Baal? In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24, and I've got to set a foundation, and then I'm going to break the bat. We're going to have revival by the end of this thing. Are you ready? Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24, the Pharisees said heard it and they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Beelzebub is another name for Satan, but at the root of it is Beelzebul. They changed it, the Hebrews changed the name of Beelzebul to Beelzebub. It's sort of a play on words, and it's a demeaning thing. Beelzebub means the Lord of the crap heap. The Lord of the dunghill. Another way to say it is the Lord of the flies. So it's kind of funny. They're like, oh, Beelzebub. It's a mocking thing. And if you go to 2 Kings chapter 1 and 2, for all of you note takers, King Azariah had fallen through the lattice of the upper room of Samaria. He injured himself, so they sent messengers to them. Go consult Baal-zebul, the god of Ekron, to see if he'll recover from his injury. The actual word, again, Baal-zebub, Lord of the Flies. To worship Baal, or to worship Baal-zebul, or to worship Baal-zebub, is to worship the god of the Canaanites. And it's a horrible, heinous, wicked demon god. It's really Satan worship. And what it included, Baal worship included sexual immorality and gross sexual immorality, bestiality, child sacrifice. And so when this false prophet comes and tells him, just send the Midianite women and have this sacrifice. The sacrifice and this meal that they had, it's in the first verses of Numbers 25, is this demon meal. It's an act of worship of Baal. And then they consummated the act of worship through sexual immorality. And I know we have a lot of children here, so I'll shoot high as best I can. So when we read Revelation chapter 2, it says, I have these things against you, verse 14. You have people who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols. You know, they're in Revelation 2. Revelation 2, verse 14 and following. Eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. You say, whoa, wait, this is the New Testament. How is it, Pastor, that that same thing is happening now in the New Testament? Exactly. And guess what else is new? Nothing is new under the sun. And the same Baal worship, the same yoking is taking place inside the church as well. Say it's not so. Well, it is so. Let's read on, verse 15. The same sin that you read about in Numbers 25 is the same thing that's happening in the church of Pergamum. Verse 15 of Revelation 2, likewise, you also hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. I don't think we would want to have that happen. Well, so the church of Pergamum is having the same problem that they had in Numbers 25. And I would say this to you, Generation Z, and especially to our youth, but all of you that are here now having your eyes open, the same spirit is at work in the nations of the world today. The same thing is at work in the church, that hyper-Calvinistic movement, that neo-Calvinism and the hyper grace, gangrenous teaching that you can just, the Nicolaitans, they and you can go really deep on this thing that you drowned. You can go see so deep you drowned, okay? So I'll just touch the surface of it. They basically believe that the spirit is good, but the flesh is evil. But as long as your spirit was right with God, then you could do whatever you wanted in your flesh and everything's fine. And that is absolutely not true. But there is those apparently in Pergamum that thought that you could certainly do that. Let's look at Thyatira in verse 20. Verse 20 of Revelation chapter 2. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel. And that wasn't her name. But it was the way that she operated, that Jezebel operated. This is not her name, but they're talking about this prophetess that teaches and misleads servants into sexual immorality. Come on, let me finish reading verse 20. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and eating food sacrificed to idols. Here it is again. Here it is again. Verse 21, let's read on. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she's unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. Verse 23, I will strike her children dead. then all the churches will know. This is a New Testament. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and minds, and I will pray each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose another burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. You see, in the church there, Pergamum, Thyatira, there was seduction within the church, and there's seduction without the without. Within, from a prophetess, a false teaching. This and the same is true today. So is that happening here at Kings? No, because we will take a javelin and kill it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm so glad to be here tonight. Go ahead. Just remember, we war not against flesh and blood. Jezebel is not your auntie, although she may be operating by that spirit. Smile at me and say hallelujah. But really, the same spirit is at work today. Seduction from within and from without. The New Testament churches had strong pressure from the Roman world. I mean, we really don't have a clue. The pressure we have from the world now is nothing compared to what they had then. The amount of perversion, you think things are bad now with the phones and everything. They are. There's no doubt they are. But can you imagine all around, the pagan culture all around them was so much stronger than it is now around us. But I will tell you, we're streaming back that way if we don't raise up a generation of Phineases. Now, the interesting thing here, for those of you that like to study the word, Nicolaitans is the Greek word for Baalites, worshippers of Baal. It's the Greek word for worshippers of Baal. Wow. That's fascinating because it's the exact same thing there in Numbers 25. The dualistic belief that the body is evil but the spirit is good. That's not true. Can I tell you something? I mean, I prayed it in the prayer a little earlier. You know you got touched by God in this conference a month from now when you're still changed. And to get really spiritual, you know, it's so many people like, oh, I just want to have more dreams. This ivory tower and this light. Yeah, you've seen too much of Return of the King and the Tolkien movies or something. I'm all for visions and dreams, but it is first to be worked out in the soil, the context of your own life. And you know you're really spiritual. You know when you're really spiritual? You want to know when? It's not all your dreams. It's not all your visions. It's not how many so much scripture you could quote. You know when you're really spiritual? When you act like Jesus. When your behavior is changed to become Christ-like, then you know you've been touched by God. You can say all we want. Say all the highfalutin, puffed up statements. And quote all these spiritual platitudes and wow people with doctrine maybe. But if that's not lived out in your life, becoming more Christ-like, then what really is it? Then it's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo that you're trying to impress people with. Real encounter with God will bring a change in the human heart that causes you to live differently. That like the Lord. Can you say amen? Can you say a better amen? True spirituality or not, it's not mere words. It's becoming like Jesus. And this Jezebel is literally seducing people from within the church to get them basically to commit adultery. We read 1 Peter 4 and 4, and that's where I said, raising up Generation Z, seduction or persecution, which will you be? Seduction or persecuted? My wife said, you need to pick another title for that. I considered that. But I decided in the end not to pick another title because I've got news for you. You live for God with all your heart, all your mind, with all your strength, and all your soul. You will experience persecution. And he said, if you don't like that, well, that's the way it is. That's the way it is being a Christian in the early days. That's the way it is now. You'll have people that don't like you, but you'll be deeply loved by God. You'll have amazing favor. You'll be the head, not the tail, and they won't like you for it. You'll walk in divine healing and wholeness and power and authority, and people won't like you. They'll be mad at you that you don't jump headlong into all the sin that they're doing, and you'll get persecuted, and they'll make fun of you. I remember in a church somebody saying, oh, she's a prude. You mean she's pure? Is that what you mean? What do you mean by that? She's a prude. What do you mean? You mean she's not worldly and into seduction and all of that like you? Is that what you mean? What actually do you mean by that? I remember years ago we went to a wedding in another state. And we were there and the wedding took place. It was beautiful. And at the end, they were doing pictures, you know, the groom with the bridesmaids and all that. Do you know that? I'm not sure where all that came from, but this is in a spirit-filled church, and we're standing there, we're watching, you know, the wedding's over, now they're taking pictures, and we're going to go buffet our bodies just after that and it's in a love feast. Amen. And, you know, the wedding coordinator says, Okay, girls, flirt with them. Go ahead and flirt. Everybody flirt and then take a bunch of pictures. And I'm standing there. I just couldn't take it. I used to be really uptight when I was younger. Now I'm really wound tight because I understand how evil works. I understand the seduction of the enemy wants to weave its way into your home, weave its way through your phone, weave its way, and so that, oh, you just swipe up and it's not that big a deal. You swipe up and see this and see that and doesn't think it affects you. No, it is a seduction that comes from the world and a worldly mindset. And so I said, excuse me. I'm the kind of guy you don't want to bring to a party that's going to go south. Party crasher. Haggerty's the same way. In fact, I know a bunch of people that are just like that. I'm not afraid of somebody not liking me. I really don't care. I'm deeply loved and deeply hated. And that is the way it is. That is the way it is for those who are going to live for God. You're going to experience persecution. You're going to have people that don't like you. Oh, come on. Lighten up. What, you can't watch rated R movies? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you, you polluted Jezebel? You don't have to be like that. I'm trying to make a point. So I said, as they're trying to get all these bridesmaids to flirt with the groom, and here they are, and it was a white wedding, if you understand that. And I said, excuse me, is that like scriptural? Like, what are you doing? And they're like, we never do weddings here unless they're formal members. And I don't rent the place out ever because we're not for rent. And I don't need the income of rent to run the church. God provides. However, years ago, we used to allow for people to rent our facility. And this was the last time we did it. This is a story from that last time. They had another guy come in and do the wedding. And we told them, no alcohol, none of that. You had the wedding, and then you had the reception somewhere else. No alcohol, no, you know, please. Okay, no problem. So they do the wedding. It's great. You know, there's a difference between a holy wedding and one that isn't. I'm just going to tell you, I've done hundreds and hundreds of weddings. And there's a difference between a wedding where the power and the presence of God is and when there isn't. It's a very, there's different anointings. And there's a specific anointing for marriage. It's a beautiful thing. Christian weddings are beautiful. It's a picture of Christ in the church. I mean, it is absolutely beautiful. But that was not the case at this wedding. We had just rented the place out the last time. And at the end, they're taking pictures, and we start seeing the red cups come out. If you don't know what that is, praise the Lord. And then before you know it, there's people with red cups, and then the red cups are multiplying. And I see more and more red cups. And it's over, and it's winding down. And I'm leaning here in my pulpit, and I'm just thinking, I cannot stand the spirit I feel right now. I'm saying to the Lord, I'm saying, God, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. And I'm choking back tears. Minister Micah, you were here. And this guy comes up to me right here, stands here with his red cup in his hand. And he leans on the pulpit with me. He had a bunch of liquid courage because there's no way in his right mind. He had a demon spirit. I almost punched him in the throat. He leans on the pulpit with me and he's looking at me and I'm thinking, oh, you better watch yourself, homie. And he's like, now, here we are. So, you believe all this crap? I said, excuse me? He said, the Bible and all that? I just said, dude, get down right now. He's like, damn, be so rude. I said, yeah, and that cup. Man, get out of here. I was so grieved. I wept. Do you remember that? We had a staff meeting. We broke defilement off of the church, and I wept and we cried. I said, we'll never do it again, and we never have. And I thought to myself, my God, what a horrible atrocity that somebody doesn't have the fear of the Lord to come in here and bring a spiritual defecation over my house. I was so angry, and yet the Lord was speaking to me and said, there's all kinds of stuff like that that happens behind the scenes of people's homes. There's all kinds of defilement, son. If we're going to raise up a generation that's going to change the world, all of you youth, if you're going to be used by God to change this culture, you're going to have to get some fire. You're going to have to get some zeal. You're going to have to get like a spirit of Phineas all up on you to drive that thing out of the house of the Lord, to drive it out of your house. Hey, come on, somebody say hallelujah. That demon spirit's at work now. If you have a big swipe life and you don't think it's a big deal that you're following all kinds of polluted, defiled people. Don't think it's a big deal. It is a big deal. And it gets into your heart. And it pollutes you. And it seduces you. Will you be seduced or will you be persecuted? Because that's really the case. Now I'm going to tell you. I am not seduced. Are you persecuted? Well, nobody's burning me at the stake. I have experienced some people that don't like me. I've been laughed at. I've had my face spit on. I didn't like that too much. Such is the way with people that are on fire for God. You'll be deeply loved by God with a favor, and even in the sight of man, and you will be hated by those who hate God. Come on, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to live for? Are you going to live for the Baal or are you going to live for God? Are you going to live for the Lord or are you going to live for the world? Are you going to be seduced by your flesh or will you be set on fire by the baptism of fire and change the world in which you live? You've been placed here at this time. You've been placed here at this time to be an ambassador, to be a minister of reconciliation, to walk with fire and power and authority, not to be seduced, and you'll have people that don't like you. The sons of disobedience. 1 Peter 4. They think it's strange that you don't plunge with them into the same flood of sin and dissipation. They heap abuse on you. Baal is at work today. Sexual immorality. When our daughters begin to dress in such a way that shows everything, there's something wrong. You know, I've done a lot of counseling. Personally, but I've also done a lot of counseling for people. And I don't know if you ever had to counsel a 13-year-old who didn't have the affection of her father at home, so she looked for it somewhere else, and a young boy that decided to show her some attention and talk to her, began to pressure her, and here's where I'm going to shoot high. They went ahead and did things out of order. Sitting in my office, the parents weeping, baby on the way. Everybody's crying. She said, Pastor, you never talked to me again. Yeah, the boy never talked to her again. And now a baby's on the way. And the heartbreak that takes place. Now Baal's at work in the church, outside the church. And that girl trying to kill herself over and over and over because of the shame and the guilt. While we're desperately trying to get them free and to get her healed. And praise the Lord, we were able to do that. That's the world in which we live. Abortion. That's Baal worship. You say, well, I can't let this baby affect my life. I can't let, this is going to change everything for me. It's going to change the course of my career. I can't have a baby right now. Yeah, you're a Baal worshiper. It's all about you. A worldly mindset. Live for the devil 6 days a week and show up at church on Sunday. How do we raise up Generation Z? How do we raise up Phineas's? Let me just give you some points here. They've got to learn the truth. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 6 through 10, you'll see that immorality and idols and festivals, they're nothing new there. And the Apostle Paul deals with it and says, do you not know that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God? We have to teach our kids the truth. And listen, kids, if you don't have a parent that serves the Lord, you don't have somebody, thank you, you don't have somebody to teach you, you know, you need to learn, teach yourself. You need to get hungry. Listen, I want to tell you that I experienced a silver spoon, debutante balls, and I experienced cardboard on the street. I've experienced high rollers and low rollers and everything in between. I've been through all kinds of stuff, and I'm going to tell you something. There is not one thing, there is not one high, there is not one thing the world or money or fame or fortune has to offer. God is the only one that can satisfy you. He's the only one that can fill that heart. There is no boyfriend, there is no girlfriend, there is no sin. There is nothing that can complete you save Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And you need to receive Him. If you try to go after those things, it'll rob you, it'll steal from you, and it'll give you a heartbreak, and in the end take you to a devil's hell. But God, who so loved the world, sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. He's come that we might have life, and life to the full, life abundantly. Those things will never ever satisfy you. You know what we need? We need a baptism of fire. We need the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit to set people free from their Baal worshiping, lust seeking, idol bowing down Baalism. Can you say amen? Amen? You might not be aware of it, but when you go to the altar of your Instagram, that you're bowing down and having fellowship with demons. I'll be right back. That's a pretty discouraging look right there. Amen, Pastor. Whoa. Altar of the gram. When you pollute yourself and you swipe up, you're following people so you can get more likers. Come on, does anybody know what I'm talking about in here? You're bowing down. You're having fellowship with demons. Paul said you cannot have fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with demons. Flee sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. Flee sexual immorality. Oh, this is heavy. We better have some music, Minister Micah. We're going to scare everybody. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Let me stop and then I'll read verse 19. Literally, that particular sin is different than other sins. Is it as bad as lying? No, it's worse. Why? Because it's that which takes place actually in your spirit, inside your body. As the act is, shooting high once again. He goes on to say in verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. Because the lines of sexuality have been so blurred, even within the church, We have a whole generation that's lost or confused or diluted, meaning diluted as in you would dilute a solution. It's like they serve God, but then all of this other, they're like Nicolaitans. Like, well, you know, food for the stomach, stomach for the food. What they were saying to Paul is, look, I've got a body and I've got urges. I can do what I want to. Not if you're born again, you can. Why is that? Because your body's no longer your own. You better hurry up. We're getting scared. You know, they found that those who indulge in that outside of marriage, that whatever age they start at is where their emotions are arrested. So I've found in our years of counseling and pastoring for 20, I've always wanted to say that. I've pastored for 20 years. That's amazing. Well, in that course of time, I've seen people who've blown it. And, you know, maybe that's you. I'm not here to heap condemnation on you, but I'm here to tell you can be healed and that you should stop it. And you should do it the Lord's way. And then have all the blessing of God. But I've found in those that we've counseled that right when that happened, their emotions are arrested. 14, 15, 16 years old. And they just seem to be stuck in that place. And that's the Psychology Today had a whole article on it. Not that they're the gospel truth or anything, but it's interesting. Got to understand covenant. Understand covenant. Your body belongs to the Lord, whether you like it or not. Homosexuality is wrong. Fornication is wrong. Adultery is wrong. Bestiality is wrong. Sexual behavior outside of marriage. By the way, marriage is a man and a woman. Doesn't matter how they redefined it. Sexuality outside of that is wrong. God will bring judgment, which is a terrifying thing. Revelation 2 and 21. I've given her time to repent of her immorality, but she's unwilling, so I'll cast her on a bed of suffering. I've seen people suffer. I shared a story this morning about a lady who came in here 12 years ago with her sons. Both her sons were addicted to drugs and they had a spirit of death on them. I told the kids in the service, I saw it. And if I saw a spirit of death tonight on somebody, believe me, I'd be telling you and we'd be praying for you. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of hurting your feelings. I love you enough to do it. They're about where the camera was, right about there. We rushed back, we laid hands on them, power of God hit these two kids and they fell out. They were both teenagers. Just out of high school. They confessed to having drug problems and challenges and we prayed for them. I told them I would visit them. I went and visited their house. When I got to the house, people were running like rats off a trash heap or something, scrambling outside of windows, running for their lives. I pulled up with our sound man, who's now a pastor in Bristol Bay. Pastor Tim Capo was our sound guy. We pulled up there and we got out and we went in. And only the people that were so wasted that they couldn't run. And then the ones who, I don't know, you know, they just didn't run. They hid in closets instead. Those are the only ones that stayed. Everybody else scrambled. We walked in. The lady there recognized me from the church. Oh, it's the pastor. It's just a pastor. It's a pastor. You can come out. It's the pastor. And you're like, oh, wow, we thought you were the 5-0. Whoa. We thought you were the detectives. Oh, wow, thank God. All right, so we gathered everybody. They all came from out the different rooms, and burnt lips and sores. Place was up to your calf in debris. Foul stench everywhere. Hardly any furniture. Stains everywhere. I mean, just smelled. We gathered everybody into the room and led everybody to Jesus. They all prayed the sinner's prayer. And I implored them, pleaded with them to come to the church and serve God. None of them did that I can recall.
12 years later, just a month ago, I saw that lady. She's still alive, which was remarkable. Walking along the side of the road, and she ended up here at the church. It was a night when we didn't have, well, we got service every night, really. Different things going on 7 days a week here. Place is always filled with people. And she came in, and she was freezing cold. It was zero. She was huddled by the heater, and we got her a hot cup of coffee, and I didn't recognize her at first. What tipped me off is she always used to call me Pastor Daniels with an S on the end. That's not my name, Pastor Daniel, but that's okay. She always called me that, so it was fine. When she said, "Oh, Pastor Daniels," I said, "Oh, my gosh. I think, it's you. I remember you. How are you? Not good." And it was obviously that she was not good. Missing half her teeth now. You know, obviously not gone well. What will you be? Will you be seduced and end up a casualty, a needless casualty in this war against the spirit of Baal? Or will you take a stand and be like a Phineas? And then ultimately stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for your life. Which will you be? Will you be seduced? Or will you be persecuted? You say, "Well, I don't want persecution." I know, I don't want persecution either. Some of you think you got persecuted because you have a Christian fish on the back of your car and somebody cut you off. And we don't want persecution. I'm not like, "Oh, persecute me, Lord." Now, nobody wants persecution. It is a byproduct of living for God. And yet still, should you give? It's the gift you use one time. The gift of martyrdom. It's the gift you only give once. It's kind of a joke. You understand, martyrdom is when you lay your life down, you die. You only have one of those to give. And after that, the judgment. Should you lay your life down? There is a reward for being martyred. Did you know that? Listen, if you think that this is it, the swipe life, this is not it. This is not it. The Twitter, Twitch, the Gram, the Facebook, the Snapchat, the likers, the haters, this is not it. We're living for another age. Be sure to set your heart on it. Become Generation Z, a generation of zeal, a generation of Phineas. Become a generation that takes a stand. I will tell you that there is no more exhilarating thing than falling in love with God and then somehow him using the likes of us and then feeling the good reward and the pleasure of the pleasure of heaven and the power of God flowing through you. There's nothing like lying on your bed at night, him giving you dreams and being visited even by angels. There's nothing like standing boldly before the throne of God's grace. Like on a sea of glass, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like that, to be able to boldly stand there. Know that you've made righteous by the blood. Know that your sins are as far as the east is from the west. There's nothing like there standing before him, knowing that he loves you and that you're the apple of his eye. Knowing that he has plans and a hope for you, not to harm you, but to give you a future. There's nothing like the reward of heaven. There's nothing like it. And the world comes, these Baal worshiping demon spirits try to come to seduce, to get you to cow down, to bow down, to yield to the things of the flesh, the things of the world, the things of the devil. Will you be seduced? Or will you be persecuted? I like saying it that way. You know why? Because that's the stinking way it is. And if you think that you just come to Jesus and everything's just all, praise God for those moments. And then there's other times where you're hated. There's other times where people put pressure on you. Anybody that pressures you to do something apart from Jesus is not your friend. I would highly advise you cut them off. Reorder your life. These next few days here in spring break, the kickoff of the Rise Up Conference, take a look at where your allegiances are. Take a look at whether you've been seduced or whether you're firmly positioned in Christ. He's in you, you're in Him, you're seated in heavenly places. Are you trying to get likers and get the affections of something other than God? Because if you are,
beware, beware, beware.
Kapu. In Hawaiian. Lift your hands all across this place. I want to be part of the generation that changes the world. I want to be a man, a family filled with zeal for the house of the Lord. I will not be seduced, no. Worship team on the platform, please, including the drums if we have it. I will not be seduced, Lord. I make a choice. I make a choice to be counted among the righteous. I make a choice to be counted among those who love you, who yield to you and serve you and you alone. We are not here for our flesh. We are not here for likers. We're not here, Lord, to revel in our flesh. Lord, we're here to serve you, to worship you with godly fear and reverence. God, we want to yield to you. Pull out anything on the inside of us that's contrary to that truth. Expose any lie. Expose any stronghold. Will you be seduced, or will you be counted among those who are persecuted? Can you sing some persecution music? Stand up on your feet all across this place. Lift your hands. Lift your hands to heaven and just talk to Him all across this place. Come on, just talk to Him. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, lift your voice right now. Whose side are you on? Who will you serve? You got to serve somebody. The Rolling Stones had that part right. You're going to serve somebody. Who are you going to serve? Come on, talk to God. Examine your life all across this place. Yes, Lord. Give us the fear of the Lord. Help us to cut off everything that's contrary to your plan, to your will.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, you can partner with us and give at kcalaska.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and enjoy more messages like this one.